welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and this week we continue with Columbia Workshop. This was a half-hour time slot without a sponsor that allowed much more artistic freedom than the normal programs, which were controlled by the sponsors. The two shows for this week are from a series on Columbia Workshop entitled 26 by Corwin, all created by Norman Corwin, who credited the audience with intelligence and a sense of humor. Both pieces take a humorous look at radio and popular culture. First, we have a radio primer by Norman Corwin. He breaks down the elements of radio during its heyday, alphabetically and humorously. Enjoy the Columbia Workshop, 26 by Corwin, a radio primer, first broadcast May 4th, 1941, on CBS.
The Columbia Workshop presents the first of 26 by Corwin. Radio Primer.
This is a radio primer.
Fala, fala, fala.
The most elementary show you've heard.
By far, by far, by far.
An alphabetical primer.
A, B, C, D, F, D.
Degree by degree from A to Z, our primer will prim the radio industry.
The radio industry.
A. A stands for announcers. What are announcers?
Announcers are men who announce. They have pep, they have zip, they have bounce. They win friends and influence masses by diction which simply surpasses the fanciest talk on Parnassus. They never coax, wheedle, or flounce. They stress only what really counts. And no matter what the time of the day or the circumstances or their personal or public opinions or the state of the nation or the weather or their last quarterly earnings, their soul is in their work up to the last ounce. There are all kinds of announcers. This is well. Some announcers are very commanding.
Go now.
Air out.
Don't fail.
Remember the name.
Don't be fooled.
Insist on.
Send in.
Try once.
Others are more appealing.
Why not try?
Have you ever wondered?
Won't you ask? And some are very friendly.
Friend, I want to tell you about an easy way.
Did you ever wake up in the morning feeling...
So much for announcing.
So much for announcing.
B. B stands for breakfast food. What is breakfast food?
Breakfast food is what you have to eat before you can be a hero. Anthropologists tell us
the ancient Aztecs, at the height of their culture, used to eat 3 square breakfasts a day.
Historians testify
inscriptions at the time of the destruction of the temple by Samson show that on the day of his fateful act, Samson ate a heaping dish of whammy.
But that's not all. Astronomers report...
The composition of the sun, which is the entire source of the Earth's energy, is as follows. 18% hydrogen, 31% carbon, 6% helium, and 45% breakfast food.
So much for breakfast food.
So much for breakfast food.
C. C stands for Crosley. What is Crosley?
Crosley is a system of measuring radio audiences. If a program is rated at 30 points, that is very good because it means about 25 million people are listening. 25 million is very good.
If only 7 million listeners are listening, that is not so good. You tried your best. We know how you feel. Too bad. Maybe some other time.
If only 1 million people hear you, you are talking to yourself.
Radio people take Crosley ratings very seriously. This may be seen by consulting Figure 1, which consists of a scene in the office of an advertising agency handling a big radio account.
J.B.
Yes, R.M.?
What's our Crosley this week?
26.2.
What was it in the last report?
26.3.
You mean to say we've dropped a tenth of a point?
Yes, R.M.
And in the report before that, we also dropped a tenth.
2/10.
Oh, I can't stand it.
What are you doing, R.M.?
What does it look like, J.B.?
Like suicide. But don't be hasty. Next week we may go up a point. He done it. I didn't think he would do it, but he done it.
So much for the Crosley.
So much for the Crosley.
D. D stands for deadline.
A deadline is the time something has to be done by or ready at. If a program is not ready on schedule, it cannot be postponed a couple of hours or days. This is why radio directors sing the deadline song when they are deep in trouble.
A deadline is the one thing I abhor. Go away, deadline, and don't come back no more. Go away, deadline, you are an awful pest. There ought to be a law to put you under arrest. A deadline is so hungry, a deadline must be fed. Someday I'm gonna get so mad, I'll kill a deadline
dead. E. E stands for expert.
An expert is a man who knows all the answers to questions he asks himself. He makes predictions which, if they turn out wrong, he forgets about, but if they turn out right, he reminds you of. Experts know everything except how each other got to be experts.
Experts are busy men. It's not easy to be an expert on foreign affairs. The toll charges are very high.
The news behind the news behind the news that afternoon. Who? Collect call from King Michael. Put him on. Remain you on the number 4 wire.
Okay. Hello, Mike. Say, I got a call from Stefanovic this afternoon asking me to stay in my broadcast tonight. Huh? Well, I know, but he claims... Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, now... No, I checked that last night. Got it right from headquarters. Yeah. Well, not according to my information.
The news behind the news behind the news.
Well,
behind the news.
I'm just telling you
I can't understand you. Who? Does he know you?
I can't.
What's it in relation to, Mr. Check? Japan? Well, just a minute. Can you speak to a Mr. Check relating to the Japanese situation on the number 2 phone?
Mike, hold on for a second, will you? Come here, Lulu. Keep your hand over the phone here. I don't want Mike over here.
Okay.
Hello? How are you, Chang? Now, wait a minute, Chang.
Now, listen, Lulu. For future reference, it's Chang Kai Check, not Mr. Check.
Oh.
Hello? Well, what's new along the Yangtze, Changzi? I mean, what's new along the Yang, Chang? How are all the song systems
getting
along?
The news behind the news, good afternoon.
Oh, that's swell.
That will be all for experts.
F. F stands for filter.
A filter is a gadget which makes you sound dead, or if alive, on the other end of a telephone. You are an honorary filter user if you are a ghost or a conscience. Nobody ever thinks thoughts to himself in radio without when he does it on a filter.
Do you suppose anybody's listening to us?
Well, gosh, the workshop always had a pretty good audience.
It has, eh? Do you think you can hold that audience?
Why, we had been hoping...
Filter voices are usually mean. Some directors can't get along without a filter. Others hate filters and never use them. That will be all for filters.
So much for filters!
G. G stands for grief.
Grief is an emotion without which actresses would not be happy. Actresses learn how to cry before anything else. This is fortunate for programs which experience a lot of grief. There are three main types of crying. First is the wait until the door closes before breaking down kind. Figure 3.
Goodbye, John.
Goodbye. It's better this way, isn't it?
Yes. It's better this way.
Well, I guess that's all.
Yes. I guess that's all.
Next is the hard to tell from a laugh kind. Next is the rippling rhythm kind.
Thank you. That will be all for grief.
Thank you very much indeed.
H. H stands for heterodyne.
What did you say?
Heterodyne. That will be all for heterodyne.
That will be all for heterodyne.
I. I stands for inspiration. What is inspiration?
Inspiration is a peachy thing which listeners get from cheerful and optimistic programs. It is not the kind of inspiration which moves one to write a poem or a symphony or paint a great painting, but rather the kind which makes you feel better about your troubles. This is well. Inspirational programs are based on the ancient Syrian definition of trouble, which is...
Trouble is a bubble.
Poetry inspires people more than prose. One of the greatest radio poets of inspiration is an anonymous man named Elwood Prue, who says he intends to be buried in a time capsule along with a copy of his verse, just brought out by the News' press, named Wings Over Everything, to be unearthed in 2941 A.D. For a specimen of the art of Mr. Prue, see Figure 6.
If you broke a leg this morning, do not mind. You could have broken two or gone stone blind. If your skull was badly fractured, do not fret. There'll be a silver lining in it yet. For the gloom is always blackest ere the storm. Just wait a while, and you'll be back in form. If you lost your job this morning, do not worry. Someone's sure to find it in a hurry. If your girl rejected you, do not lose hope. She may turn out to be a fearful dope. For the black is always gloomest ere the storm. Just stick along, and you'll be back to norm. If you have but one shirt left, do not despair. That's better than being absolutely bare. If you're sentenced to be hanged most any day, cheer up. We all die sometime anyway. For the black is always stormest ere the gloom, no matter where you are, or what, or whom.
That will be enough for inspiration.
That will be enough for inspiration.
J. J stands for Jupiter. What is Jupiter?
Jupiter is an outpost of the enemy in children's programs. It is inhabited by wicked jupes, whose skin is green and whose eyes are on stalks like lobsters. Jupes bear no resemblance to Earthmen, except in their lust for power and the fact that they speak English, which is the universal language of the universe.
Though one of the most powerful planets in the cosmos, Jupiter has a tough fight on its hands because mankind happens to be represented by Tex, Millicent, and the Professor. This is illustrated in Figure 8.
Turn on the death ray, Tex, and let them have it.
I can't, Professor. The atomic integrator exhalator condenser coil is busted.
Zounds, jumping gyroscopes. What will we do now?
The Jupiter fleet is bearing down on us at 6,000 miles per second.
Gosh, it looks like we're done for.
Wait, Professor. I think I can fix it.
Only seconds are left.
There. How's that?
Ah, fixed.
Great, Millicent. You have saved civilization. This means peace in our time. Just wait till I spray him with this death ray.
Get set, Tex.
I await your order, Professor.
Ready, aim, fire!
That will be all for Jupiter.
That will be all for Jupiter.
K. K stands for killer.
A killer is a man with a gun. Because if he didn't have a gun, nobody could hear him kill. He has bad manners and is uneducated.
Don't give me none of that lip.
This is well, for otherwise he would neither terrify nor intimidate.
But please do not give me any of that lip, please.
That will be all for killers.
L. L stands for laughter.
Laughter is something without which a comedy program could not be comic. Thousands and thousands of dollars are spent to get a good laugh on the air. This is well. Figure 9 demonstrates how it is possible to get a good laugh on the air for next to nothing.
M. M stands for mother.
To be a mother, one must not only have children, but philosophy. All mothers are wise, and most of them speak with a sectional accent.
If you ask me, Jed, I think you're being made a fool of. There comes a time in a man's life when he either gets up and gets, or he shrugs his shoulders and figures he's about done for. And it's a heap better, my son, to go gettin' up and gettin', instead of quittin'.
We will proceed now with N.
We will proceed with N.
N stands for narrators.
Narrators are deep-voiced men, full of information, who keep track of characters in plays or tell you dates in history. Everything that happens is ominous to some narrators, mostly on account of it's an ominous world.
On busy Fifth Avenue in mid-Manhattan today, two women in their early 30s, but prosperous but nearsighted, collided as they were stepping off a curbstone.
Oh, I'd
beg your pardon.
Oh, that's quite all right.
And so the world goes.
That much for narrators.
That for narrators.
O stands for Orson.
Who is Orson? What is he that all the critics tell him? All the terror of the Mercury, publicity to trail him.
Stands for press.
Press means newspapers. There are all kinds of newspapers. This is well. Most of the press believes radio is here to stay, and likewise, most of radio believes the press is here to stay. This is well. Some papers have their doubts about radio drama, however, as may be seen in Figure 11.
Well, Chief, the show's all lined up and the announcements have gone out.
Fine. Did you stress the angle of the bigness of the production setup?
Yes, sir. I listed everything.
Uh-huh.
Script by Ernest Hemingway, music by Sibelius, orchestra of 75 men under Tchaikovsky, Beams Taylor announcing, cast of 62, including 8 stars, a choir of 20 voices, sound effects crew of 7, and 400 extras.
Good. I see the Chronicle gave it an excellent advance notice. How did the Evening Clarion call, Mr.?
10:30 to 11 p.m. Sketch.
We will go on to other things.
We will go on.
Q. Q stands for quiz programs.
Quiz programs are programs which make you feel good if you know the answers, which the guy at the microphone doesn't. But if he does know the answers and you don't, well, then you figure he spent all his life reading encyclopedias, and who wants to do that? Life's too short anyway.
Quiz fans have a national anthem, which was written last July 4th by Francis Scott Shapiro, and which follows without further introduction.
Who did it? Who done it? The Derby? Who won it? Who said it? Who wrote it? How far can you quote it? What is a cantata? Who sang for the other?
And when is the mating season of the microscopic rhizopod, commonly known as the amoeba?
Who was he? Gives what shade is magenta? How often? How many? Where are they? If any? From Brooklyn? How far is the Zara? The Naris?
And is a mollusk a temple of prayer in Arabia? Or a farmer's cooperative in Russia? Or a South American melon? Or a Dutch cheese?
Where are the Antilles? How great are the Willies? Who started the custom? Whose father was Rustum? How good is an army that's been on the Swami?
And if a train traveling 80 miles an hour overtakes another train traveling 60 miles an hour on the same track, is that, I ask you, any kind of a way to run a railroad?
No, 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 no. The answer is no.
R. R stands for remote control.
Remote control is a dandy way of picking up broadcasts from outside a studio. In fact, it is the only way. Engineers are wizards, bless their heart, And when they get to fooling around with wires and coils and all like that, almost anything can happen, and often does.
Listeners will not soon forget the first pickup of the transmission of sound through electrical energy generated in the brain of the North Dakota chinch bug. This sound, which occurs at a frequency too high for the human ear to hear, was picked up by means of microphonic megamplification. This is well. The result may be heard by consulting figure 12A, which follows.
That was a sound beyond the reach of the human ear, amplified 16,249 times.
16,249.
S. S stands for soporific.
A soporific is what you need after a hard day's work in the office or in the kitchen or both. When your nerves are on edge and Junior has been such an aggravation all day, you have no idea. Soporifics put you to sleep. And in radio, the best soporifics have voices deeper even than narrators, mainly because they feel the world more keenly, and besides, it's getting late at night.
Some soporifics have been known to put listeners to sleep for periods ranging up to 4 days. The organ, either hand or electric, is indispensable to soporification, as indicated clearly in figure 14.
When Phoebe doth her grummons gather up, and in the trancèd night forsoonly sup of myrrh and the smirds of Arcady, when shumblers in the dimmet aspenade bestrew the glamorantine of the glade, then come, love, cast thy wants and cherry dibs and troll and fulsome flitches on the air, for hearts that beat in Wambledon garum can ne'er the druid fluid bloom the froom.
Can ne'er the druid the fluid bloom the froom.
You stands for understatement.
Understatement is when a character has so much character that nothing affects him as much as it would affect a character with less character. The British are famous understaters, as may be gathered from the typical case of Sir Ronald Brinsley Brettingham, who was captured by cannibals in southwest Borneo and boiled for dinner one night. As the chef was adding chives and thyme to the pot, Sir Ronald quipped,
"I say, gentlemen, I'm really in a frightful stew."
This is a very good understatement. For actually, as you can well imagine, it was no laughing matter.
In radio, there is sometimes understatement in sound, such as when a person enters a room without and you hear a door open or any footsteps. He just suddenly appears and starts talking, just like that.
He just floats in.
Yes, that's right. This is known as productional understatement, or sound man's night off.
That will be all for understatement.
That will be all.
V. V stands for variety. What is variety?
Him who knows not what variety is.
Oh, pity on him who knows not what variety is.
A man in the show game has no business not to know what variety is.
A man in the show game has no biz not to know the main mag of the show biz.
Why, it's the mag.
It's the mag, it's the mag.
Why, it's the mag.
It's the mag, it's the mag. Why, it's the main mag of the show biz.
Variety, variety, all radio society deems it an impropriety not to read variety.
Oh, sing, 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 variety.
But wheresoever variety is sung, it must be in a strange and different tongue. 100 is a C, 1,000 is a G, a snowstorm is a blizz, and a rainstorm is a drizz.
An independent station is an indie. Chicago's either shy or it is windy.
The cinema is ticked, the hinterland is ticked, the people there are hicks, and critics all are tricks.
A good week's fish is perky or it's fluffy. Australia's a continent called Aussie. Indy, windy, hicks, hicks, hicks,
hicks, fluffy, fluffy. A premiere's a preem, good business is steam, the stages are legit, and sex appeal is it.
What better jargon combo could a mention wish? That while this fanny duo may then not fall, bitch.
on the staff of variety. Your name must have only four letters, although if one just wants to buy it, he can, of course, spell his name with more letters. Each name has a four-letter par, such as I.B., Wood, Scope, Flynn, and Shaw. Oh, many a turkey's been panned by a four-letter man named Land. And many a show sent below deck by a critic who calls himself Odeck. And if a script's awful, then woe be if caught and reviewed by Hobie.
Variety, variety, your radio society is intended in variety, not to be variety of same variety.
W stands for wisdom.
Wisdom is a rare quality which only a few people have in sufficient quantity to make a radio program out of. It is very nice to be full of it because then you can live your life wisely and advise people in trouble how to get out of trouble so they can go home from the radio studio feeling better until they get into some more trouble. This is well. One of the wisest men known to man is Judge Solomon A. Trumbull, whose philosophy of life is based on the ancient Swedish legend,
Trouble is a bubble.
Judge Trumbull is justly famed for his brilliant radio analysis of personal problems, such as is typified in the case of Mr. B, see figure 16, who came to Judge Trumbull weighted down by vexations of the most vexing sort.
Judge Trumbull, Your Honor, dear Judge, I'm a poor man. All my life I've worked hard to make a living working hard. Even I took in boarders. My wife, she helped me. Judge Trumbull, Your Honor, I'm in such a trouble.
Go on, Mr. B. Just tell me everything.
Well, it began like this. There I work, in the same place, only in the cutting department, works a man, a middle-aged man about my age, who I felt very sorry for.
I see. Now, why did you feel sorry for him?
Well, in the first place, he lost two fingers in the last war, and besides which, he's got a cross eye, and on top of that, he's an orphan.
An orphan, you say?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Nobody left in the world but him, you understand?
I see. Go on.
So I feel so sorry for him, I take him into my house as a boarder. I treat him honest like a brother. I let him wear my shirt, smoke my pipe, listen to my radio. Every Sunday night he listens to the Columbus Workshop, and that's okay by me because I'm feeling sorry for the man. Judge Trumbull, it's such a trouble. Such a trouble I've been.
Now go right on, Mr. B.
Well, after I treat this man like a brother for 6 months, I come home from a lodge meeting one night, and I find him and my wife coming down the front stairs with suitcases in their hands. So I say, I'm so shocked, I say, where are you going all of a sudden like this? And he says to me, he says, your wife is running away with me. That's where we're going. Now get out of my way or we'll be late for the train. So I'm so dumbfounded, you understand? I just stand there speechless. So he gets mad and angry, and he commences to holler at me so even the neighbors could hear him. And he says to me, he says, you better get out of my way or I'll make trouble for you. And my wife, she also hollers at me. She says to me, she says, beat it now or we'll both make trouble for you.
I see. Now, what is your particular problem, Mr. B?
Well, Judge Trumbull, Your Honor, what I want to know is, can they make trouble for me?
That will be all for wisdom.
Why? Why stands for nothing in particular.
Nothing in particular. No, nothing in particular. Particularly particular. Why stands for nothing in particular?
Z. Z stands for the end of the program. We have now reached the end of the primer.
That is well.
That is well.
Radio primer.
Fa la fa la fa la.
The most elementary show you've heard.
By far, by far, by far.
An alphabetical primer.
A, B, C, D, F, E.
Having thus come from A to Z, our primer has come. The radio industry.
The radio.
been listening to Radio Pima, the first of 26 by Corwin, a series of original programs written and produced by Norman Corwin and presented each week at this time by the Columbia Workshop. Lynn Murray composed and conducted the special score. Featured members of the cast were Everett Sloan, who played the principal definition givener, and Beatrice Kay. The four clubmen were the singers. 26 by Corwin returns at this same time next week with an original drama, Log of the R-77. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour over iTunes and the World Wide Web. Sponsors wouldn't like listeners to be reminded how radio advertising was trying to push their buttons and make them want specific things that they may not need. In this charming and wonderful story, a poor young woman is moved to want everything that she is exposed to in popular culture, with a hilarious outcome. They were able to make fun of the products that sponsored most shows because they were allowed to run without sponsorship. Norman Corwin created this wonderful script, and it stars two famous actresses. Elsa Lanchester is Mary, and Ruth Gordon plays the fairy. Enjoy the Columbia Workshop 26 by Corwin, Mary and the Fairy, first broadcast August 31st, 1941, on CBS.
This is a story about a very, very good girl named, of all things, Mary, and how her great virtue was rewarded by an exceptionally good fairy. And the beginning of our story is laid in the town of Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. And why I'm singing this in recitative, I will explain ya.
This recitative is just to attract your ear, so you'll put down what you're doing and listen to this story instead of continuing to do what you were doing. Any old program could open with this kind of an announcement.
From Hollywood tonight, the Columbia Workshop presents Elsa Lanchester as Mary and Ruth Gordon as an exceptionally good fairy in Mary and the Fairy, a new fable for radio written and directed by Norman Corwin as program number 17 in the cycle 26 by Corwin.
As I say, any old program could open with that kind of an announcement, but this isn't any old program. This is the story of Mary Pooter, a good girl who worked at the perfume counter in a 5-and-10-cent store and took to heart everything she read and everything she saw and everything she heard. Consequently, she was worried about what 4 out of every 5 have, and coffee nerves and pink toothbrush and dry skin and telltale signs, and she was afraid of offending and of what might happen if she didn't insist on a name. Also, she was careful to eat things that were extra good and whose crispy, tangy deliciousness and wholesome mellowness gave one added pep and overcame that tired feeling. And one morning, while she was reading the paper on her way to work, she found on page 4, between a trunk murder in column 2 and a Japanese threat in column 4, the following ad.
Be smart. Eat crinkly, crunkly bread. The national defense food. Kiddies fight for it. Men love it. With new added vitamins A, B1, and D. Nature's own all-out campaign to build sturdy bodies and strong nerves. Insist on crinkly, crunkly.
Even while she was reading it, Mary made a mental note to insist on crinkly, crunkly when she got home from work that night. But what really absorbed her and started this story was the announcement of the crinkly, crunkly contest at the very bottom of the advertisement.
How would you like 5 wishes granted absolutely free of charge by Crinkly Crunkly's own good fairy? Enter the Crinkly Crunkly contest today. Send in 25 wrappers of Crinkly Crunkly's delicious, wholesome Scotch brand bread with a letter of exactly 50 words explaining why you like it. The contest is open to all persons except employees of the Crinkly Crunkly Vitamin-Rich National Defense Baking Company, Incorporated.
Mary believed implicitly in this announcement. It was well that she did, for every word of it was true. Crinkly Crunkly stood behind its trademark, for it was an old established company since 1881, and it would never have had the crust to try to fool the public. Well, anyway, when Mary got home tired from work that night, she bought 25 loaves of Crinkly Crunkly and made a neat pile of the wrappers.
22. 23. Oh, dear. I smell like a bake shop. 24. 25.
And then she sat down and composed a letter of exactly 50 words, which took her exactly 4 hours and 11 minutes.
There. C stands for creamy richness. R for rare deliciousness. I for ideal. N for nature's favorite. K for kiddies who love it. L for lusciousness. Y for yumminess. C-R-I-N-K-L-Y, put them together and they spell crinkly, but that's only half of it. For full quality, I always insist on crinkly, crunkly. $49.50.
And Mary sent the entry off. And to her great surprise, 4 days later, she received a registered letter.
Miss Mary Pooter, 1674 Maple Street, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. My dear Miss Pooter, congratulations. Your letter has won the Good Fairy Contest for this week. As the makers of nature's own all-out bread, we're privileged to inform you that the Crinkly Crunkly Good Fairy will call on you next Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Savings Time and will be ready and eager to grant you 5 wishes. We hope that you will make good use of your wishes and enjoy them to the fullest. Thanking you for your loyalty to our product and again congratulating you for your splendid original letter, we are pleased to remain yours very cordially, Buddington Hulick, President. BHAB, Form 32, UOPWA, Local 62.
Oh, dear, now what? I've gone and won the Good Fairy Contest. The Good Fairy is going to visit me.
And so the Good Fairy called upon Mary by prearrangement.
Must be the Good Fairy now, and very punctual.
Mary Pooter live here?
Yes, I'm Mary Pooter.
Uh-huh, well, I'm the Good Fairy from the Crinkly Crunkly Bread Company.
I was expecting you. Won't you come right in?
Thanks. Sure.
This place isn't very attractive, I know, but I'm getting a new slipcover for the sofa next week. Won't you sit down?
Thank you. Now, Miss Pooter, if you'll sign these papers, we can get started immediately on your wishes. I have to be out of here by 9 because I have 3 more calls to make in this district tonight.
Oh, where do I sign them?
Right on the bottom where it says X. Now, this one's a company quick claim in case by any chance you should wish to get in some kind of accident so the company won't be held responsible.
I see.
And this one's a report I have to turn into the head of my department to show I was here.
Oh, yes.
And this is the last one, giving us the right to use your name among the endorsers of CCRB.
CCRB?
Crinkly Crunkly Raisin Bread. Oh, it's a new product to be added to the line effective September 15th.
Oh, yes, I see. Heavens sakes, I feel so important signing all these papers.
Thank you very much. Now, Miss Pooter, will you kindly state your first wish?
Well, I don't exactly know how to say it. Well...
Are you embarrassed about something?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, why should you be embarrassed?
Because, well, you see, you don't look like a real fairy to me.
Well, what did you expect I'd look like?
Well, I thought at least you'd have wings. Kind of shiny-like. And you'd be dressed all in white and have a magic wand or something.
But I do have wings and a wand.
No?
Here, let me take off my wrap. I always fold my wings back into my wrap or it'd be too conspicuous. There, see?
Oh, how nice.
That's very pretty.
Like dragonfly wings. May I touch one, please?
Well, yes, but don't you stroke it against the grain.
Oh, my. It's beautiful. They're shorter than I would have thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, that's because I'm an amphibian fairy. I don't fly much.
Amphibian?
Yeah. And here's my magic wand. I have to keep it in the case with a zipper because it gets dusty and loses its ultra-short wave powers. When you make a wish, I tap you with it on the forehead.
Oh, like a baton, isn't it?
Yeah, well, now I'm afraid we'd better get on with your wishes because my time's short. What's your first wish?
Well, you see, I... Well, ma'am, I come from a very poor family, and we...
Sorry, but in money matters, we have a maximum fortune agreement with the federal government for which we don't grant wishes for fortunes in excess of $25. Because, of course, of the obvious inflationary result, if we permitted every contest winner to become a millionaire.
Well, that's all right. I was just going to wish for some of the things I had to miss because I had to quit high school in the second year to work in an office.
Oh, you mean you want a high school diploma?
Oh, no. I'd like to sound more educated, that's all. You know, to be able to talk about plays and books and culture and all things like that. And not be, well, a wallflower. I'm the kind of girl that men forget.
Mm-hmm, I see. Well, of course, I'm very sorry, but we can't grant any complex wishes. No, only just one thing at a time. Now, you want to know all about plays?
No, not exactly. I just want to talk better.
Speak better.
Rhythmic-like. Instead of the way I do.
You want to put that in the form of a motion?
No. I think I have enough emotion, all right. But the trouble with me is...
Now, you repeat after me. I do hereby move the good fairy.
I do hereby move the good fairy.
To grant me several wishes.
To grant me several wishes.
First being?
The first being...
Make the speech more rhythmic.
To make my speech more rhythmic.
Mm-hmm. Now I do touch thee, Mary Pooter, with my magic wand. Now speak.
I don't feel any different.
No little tingling about the lips?
No, ma'am, I don't feel a thing.
Yeah, apparently it didn't take. Well, I'll try it again, a little harder this time. Oh, now I do touch thee, Mary Pooter, with my magic wand. Do you feel anything now?
No, I don't feel a bit different. Oh, oh dear, do you suppose I'm unwishy?
No, no. It just takes a little work sometimes to get magic through people's heads. I'll try it again. Now, I do touch thee, Mary Pooter, with my magic wand. Now speak.
I have the funniest feeling as though I were going up through the ceiling. I made a run.
Well, then it's worked. That's your rhythmic speech from now on.
I'm pretty giddy. What a pity I'm not witty like a city slicker. Then I'd get a man quicker.
Well, you'll improve as you go along. Now, that takes care of wish number one. You thought about your other wishes?
Oh, my, the way I rhyme. Will I talk like this all the time?
Yes, dear. Now, what's your second wish?
Do you know what I wish? I suppose I'm stupid. But I've always had a secret belief in Cupid. I don't suppose it could ever be done. But could I go out with anyone?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's quite feasible. Now, did you have somebody special in mind?
Yes. There's an actor on the movies I adore. His name is Ronald W. DeVore. The dream of my life is to have a date with him and to stay up very late with him.
No, I can see I won't get through here tonight. All right, I'll grant this wish, but for the others, you have to be here every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock sharp. So as I return, grant you the balance. I have a schedule to stick to.
That's all right, Wednesday night.
Now I do touch thee, Mary Pluto, with my magic wand.
Well, you having a good time, Mary?
Oh, wonderful. Like a beautiful dream. Just think, off soupers and cream and champagne and all things like that. You'd better watch out or you'll get fat.
Mary, have you always gone around reciting poems like that?
Oh, no, I should say not. To the contrary. This is something given me by my good fairy.
Your good fairy?
Oh, yes. Ain't this Patty the foie gras? Well, no, Mr. Duvall. I can cook very well.
Oh, hello, Ronnie.
Why, Ronnie.
Oh, hello, buddy.
Seeing you here.
Hello, Reggie. This is Miss Moore.
How do you do?
Reginald Moraine.
How do you do?
Mary Pooter.
How'd you do, Miss Moore, I'm sure?
Is he taking good care of you, Miss Pooter? You know, Ronnie's quite a cad, you know.
Even if he's a cad, I don't think he's so bad.
Are you in the greeting card line, Miss Pooter?
Oh, no. I handle the perfume counter on the basement floor of the Punxsutawney 5 and 10 cent store. The girls there aren't so bad when you get to know them.
Mind if we join you?
No, Reggie, I would.
Oh, please sit right down and make yourself to home.
Oh, thank you very much.
Miss Pooter, have you been in Hollywood very long?
No, I thought I had.
Where did you pick up this hothouse phone? I didn't pick her up. She was wished on me.
I heard that. I heard what you said. Oh, dear. I can tell that you don't want me here.
Now, wait a minute, Mary.
It's very plain to see that you're just making fun of me.
Yes, I know, Mary, but I can't guarantee the behavior of any wish once it's granted. I'm only a fairy, not a police force.
Just because I'm not a glamour girl or a movie queen, he's making fun of me. I suppose if I'd had ermine wraps and satin pumps or something.
Of course, your rhythmic speech didn't help you much, did it?
No. That's why I had to use up another wish to get rid of it.
Oh, well, I wouldn't feel too bad about Ronald DeVore if I were you. He's a ham anyway, personally. I've always preferred Robert Taylor.
Oh, he's nice.
I once hovered over Tyrone Power when he was making a personal appearance in Pittsburgh.
He's got nice broad shoulders.
Wouldn't mind getting my wings round him. let me see. What's your next wish, Mary?
Well, I've been thinking, if I could only be accomplished like those girls who take singing and dancing lessons, then I could become a success and go far. Then men like Ronald DeVore wouldn't snub me. They'd be at my feet.
Well, now, what in particular you want to be accomplished in? Of course, if it's on the crinkly-crunkly premium list, I can grant it.
Well, I've been told at parties and places like that I've got a very good singing voice.
You have?
I would like to be a singer. And sing.
Yeah, well, that can be done, all right.
But I want to be a great success and be applauded for encores, if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind. But, of course, that uses up another wish, you realize. I mean, the applause part of it.
Oh, that's all right.
Very well, then. Now I do touch thee, Mary Pooter, with my magic wand.
E convivare vivo, sono convivare con voi, non so, non so. Convivare vivo,
vivo,
sono convivare con voi, non so, non so,
the farmer takes a wife, the farmer takes a wife, hi ho the derry-o.
That was more to your taste, was it?
I was a great success, I must admit. But the trouble is, now it's all over.
Well, that's all you wished for, wasn't it?
Yes, there's something to that.
What's your next wish?
Well, I suppose you'll think I'm silly and romantic, but I would like to spend an evening with a prince. A foreign prince.
Well, that's a hard one. You see, the State Department made us promise we wouldn't grant any overseas wishes because of passport technicality. Would you mind if it's a foreign prince in America?
Oh, no, that'd be even better because then I wouldn't have to learn to speak any foreign language, would I?
No. Let's go then. No, I do touch the Mary Poodle with my magic wand.
It is truly divine. Don't you think so, Prince?
Are you referring to the late lamb or to the music?
To all these beautiful exotic things with which we are surrounded. The sweet music and the flowers and the incense and everything.
Oh, my little Marichka, you are the most beautiful girl in the Western Hemisphere. You are like an exquisitely fragrant fleur de feu.
You're a flatterer.
Oh, no. How come one flatter the orchid? You will have some more fine Romanian slitch to drink, no?
Weather, Kellner, Gazon.
Yes, sir. What will it be, Your Excellency?
Dragnidismos.
My dear Margot, нужно разговаривать.
What does that mean?
Meaning, my dear Margot, may I be permitted to kiss your tiny hand?
Oh, please go right ahead, Prince. Your mustache tickles.
Tell me, my little princess, you have a great deal of money, no?
Money?
Yes. Did I understand correctly? You are the owner of a 5-and-10-cent store, no?
Oh, no, Prince. That's an exaggeration, I fear.
Exaggeration?
Yes. I only work there, at the perfume counter. We sell Florida poppy, Arabian jasmine, and Lily of the Valley. Wouldn't you like to smell some?
Draco!
Are you swearing at me, Prince?
Yes, get out! Get out of here, imposter, faker, glove ones!
But I was angry!
Go! Go in the premises at once! Rossi da Golda! Riga Nudriga! Rossi Maya Dora Vita Nova! Viva Rossi Mano!
And here I am. Five out of my wishes used up and nothing to show for it. I'm sorry I ever won the Crinkly Crunkly Vitamin Rich Contest in the first place.
Mary Poulter. Oh, how can you say such a thing?
I guess I'm just not very smart, that's all. I'll never amount to anything. I know. Gee, I wish I was smart. I wish I knew lots and lots. Then I could be the life of the party and nobody would laugh behind my back. I'd have friends at my beck and call and be popular in my set. I wish I knew hundreds and hundreds of facts right at my fingertips. Hundreds of them.
You really wish that?
Yes, with all my heart and soul.
Very well. Now I do touch thee, Mary Poodle, with my magic wand.
I feel very strange. Like a rush of blood to my head.
Yeah, well, it's working now. You're practically an almanac.
Heavens! All kinds of new thoughts are rushing around inside my head. The formula for water is H2O. The sun is 93 million miles away. The capital of Montana is Helena. Chantepleur is the name of a French poem addressed to those who sing in this world and shall weep in the next. Hence a mixture of joy and sorrow.
The population of Saskatchewan, whose capital is Regina, is 921,785. A cowboy is a boy who tends cows. Quote, a wise man is never less alone than when he is alone. Unquote. Swift, in his essay on the faculties of the mind, Epicurus was a Greek philosopher born in 342 B.C., died 270 B.C. Oh, isn't that wonderful and exhilarating, Miss Fairy? I feel a new woman, almost.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you know hundreds of facts right at your fingertips.
Will I always be as smart as this, Miss Fairy?
Oh, no. Didn't you know the crinkly, crunkly wishes are good for only 24 hours?
You mean they're only a special offer for a limited period only?
Yes. Oh, this bargain offer will not be repeated.
Oh, Nat. That means I've used up all my wishes. And tomorrow, I'll just be as dumb as ever. Back where I started from before I entered the crinkly-crunkly contest. I fear I am but a foolish, impulsive girl, without hardly a grain of common sense.
There, now don't take it to heart so, Mary. Why do you think you're a foolish, impulsive girl without hardly a grain of common sense?
Well, for example, ma'am, I'm a poor working girl working 48 hours a week for just enough pay to keep alive on and see a moving picture once a week. If I wasn't so impulsive and romantic, I should have right away wished for a raise in pay as soon as you came, so as I could maybe save a little money to buy a pretty dress and look more attractive, so as I'd maybe get a steady boyfriend and not be so lonely in Punxsutawney. I really shouldn't have thrown away my wishes on silly things that can never do me any good.
Mm-hmm. I think I know what you mean.
If I had been ready when opportunity knocked, Miss Fairy, the very first thing I'd have wished for when you came would have been that $25 maximum fortune. Then at least I'd have something to show. Because what good are wishes that are gone in the morning? Like a vanished rose or something. I thought that fairy wishes were wonderful things, which when they came true would make you very happy. Like in a storybook. To be perfectly frank, I'm considerably disappointed.
Well, my poor child, don't you know that the only wishes that really matter are those you make come true yourself? Well, magic isn't very good because it's so unreliable. Of course, I don't like to run down my own profession, but if good fairies were able to perform such wonders as they're supposed to, would they have to be working for the Crinkly Crunkly Promotion Exploitation Department? No, darling, don't you expect magic wands and good fairies to think things out and get things done for you? Think for yourself. Act for yourself. Well, then maybe you won't be so lonely. You'll soon find plenty of others looking for a purpose in life. Maybe among them, well, might be somebody looking for you.
I hope you're right, Miss Fairy.
Yes, well, got to go now, Mary. Here's a complimentary loaf of crinkly, crunkly raisin bread, which we leave behind for every contest winner.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye, Mary.
Goodbye, Miss Fairy.
And so, Mary Pooter of 1674 Maple Street, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, had five wishes granted as advertised, plus two extras absolutely free of charge by Crinkly Crunkly's own good fairy. And the honor of the Crinkly Crunkly Vitamin-Rich National Defense Baking Company, Incorporated, was upheld. For it had kept its word and stood four square behind its trademark, it being an old, established company since 1881.
And having told you the story of Mary and the fairy in our own unorthodox manner, we will now make a concession with the established conventions of this wonderful medium of radio by closing the program with the ordinary kind of closing announcement.
You have been listening to Elsa Lanchester as Mary and Ruth Gordon as the Good Fairy in Mary and the Fairy, a new comedy written and directed by Norman Corwin as program number 17 in the current Columbia Workshop cycle, 26 by Corwin. Others in the cast were Thurl Ravenscroft as the singing narrator, Hans Conried as the prince, Earl Ross as President Buddington Hulick, and Frank Graham as Ronnie, the movie star. Music was arranged and conducted by Lud Gluskin, and the operatic background for The Farmer in the Dell was furnished by The Sportsman. Next week at this time, Columbia will present program number 18 of 26 by Corwin, a new treatise for voice and sound entitled The Anatomy of Sound. The star and sole performer will be the distinguished actress of stage, screen, and radio, Miss Gail Sondergaard. Arthur Gilmore speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You may remember Elsa Lanchester from The Bride of Frankenstein. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Old Time Radio Hour. Each week we bring you fabulous shows from the golden age of radio. Next week we continue with Norman Corwin and one of the most famous broadcasts in the history of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for now.